Blog Talk Radio.
That's really a sentence that has no end. From glory to glory to glory to glory for the rest of your life. So we have been raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. The word seated is, I think we most often use the word ushered instead of seated. And when I looked at that concept, God is the one who ushered us to our seat in Christ, in his holy community. God has done all this. And so we are entered into the divine community of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Here we come to be one in God and one with God and one with each other, as Jesus and the Father are one. That's our model. This is what Jesus prayed for this. Many times we read in the Gospels that they will be one as we are one. So in baptism we are inundated into the living God, the triune God, the God who is. And our response to God's ushering and his placement of us in the heavenlies is that we utilize the grace of God to maintain this unity of the Spirit. Because why? There is one God, one Father, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. One. If you do crossword puzzles, you will sometimes find this clue, the loneliest number. And of course, the answer is one. But in reality, one is not a lonesome number because that's the totality of us in Christ and among one another. And so we settle in on this oneness, this unity. Well, why did God create us? Why did God create us? You know, first of all, it wasn't because he was lonely. Jesus said he and the Father and the Spirit had great communion before Jesus came to earth. He was not lonely. And I'm pretty sure I can say God was not bored and needed something to do. God was carrying out his eternal plan, his eternal purpose, as he created us. Because God is a relational being. He's not some sort of pompous monarch who's all taken up with himself. In a very simple sort of way, I feel like we want to say that his life was too good. His life was too good to not have someone like himself with whom to share it. So he created us like himself to enter into that great dance, that great life, that great circle, to enter into God himself. And it, this whole pattern of this three-dimensional life is intended to be played out amongst us and in each one of us. God is desirous to live out his holy life in each of us as individuals. He is our life. Paul writes that he is our life, and when he is revealed, we will be revealed with him in glory. This is more than our minds can handle, but not more than the Spirit of God can reveal and maintain within us. The life of God is intended to be lived out in each of us in our ordinary, everyday lives. God is a mutually indwelling triune God. They are Father, Son, and Spirit are mutually indwell. And now he's invited us to join into that indwelling. That's why the Bible says, Jesus explains it very carefully, I in them, they are in me, I am in you. We are all intertwined. But intertwinement, I've decided I don't like that word too much anymore because it's more surface. But indwelling. Indwelling. He is in us. We are in him. We are members, the Bible says, one of another. It's not just about me trying to live a godly life, or about you living a godly life. It's about us being the expression of God in the earth where he manifests himself in fullness. And the more fully we yield to him, the more fully his manifestation comes forth. And I think we also have discovered that manifestation is probably never any stronger than when we are going through difficulties. That God is revealing himself to be who he is. So we are indwelling. We are immersed into the living God. We are submerged into God. And Christ is our life. And he wants that life to be experienced in all its fullness and all its abundance. And I thought it's an interesting thing that there is no noun in the New Testament for saints. There is no noun. Saints, that word we have translated saints in our Bibles, is an adjective used as a noun. And it's an adjective and it's simply holy. Holy. So if you read your Greek New Testament, you'll see that it says the holy ones is understood. So the saints are the holy ones. The Spirit is the holy one. God is the Holy One. It's not a noun, it's an adjective. It describes us. Holy. So the believers are the holy ones of God. Then I thought, then it's no wonder that the saints of God join in with the angels of God, declaring holy, 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 because we recognize holiness, because that's our connection with God. I just wish we had a lot of time to look at all these verses, maybe some point, but just hear this, what it says in Peter, we have come to share the very nature of God. We have come to share the very nature of God. It says through his divine promises, we have come to share the divine nature. And even though we share that divine nature, God is still distinctively God, and we are still distinctively we. We do not lose the identity that God created. But in addition to that identity that God created, we now share a new identity as members of the holy community of God. And it's more than a name. It's a designation. It's a distinction. So we do not lose. You know, when we come into God, God doesn't just mash us all together like potatoes. We retain our own unique created identity so that we function in that place for which God created us.
Thank you. frightened wings up fly. Wild wolves of hell are waiting for the night.